www.ecc.com.
There we go. Good morning. So this morning, as you are coming in, because of our chili cook-off, a lot of you are coming in to worship songs. But if you were here early enough to drop off your chili and get up here before the worship songs, there was this video montage of all these football players, and it like only had two words in the whole thing: let's go. Now, I don't want to replay that again, but to get us back in the spirit, because, you know, that was a while ago, and here we are now, I'm going to need your help. So on the count of three, I want everyone to shout out, let's go. Ready? One, two, three.
Let's go.
Yeah, like that, right? Like that kind of energy for everybody, not let's go. Like big time, like you're in a significant moment, you got to yell out, let's go. Ready? One, two, three. Let's go! All right, now this time a little more intensity. Like that was good volume, but like you're angry. Like maybe a little angry, right? One, two, three. Not bad, not bad. All right, so I had to get us back in the spirit of that this morning because the theme is, well, it's let's go. Now, I realize it's probably one of the most like overused sayings that you're going to hear, especially in sports. But it's also one of the most memorable moments that I've had as a soccer coach. So, a number of years ago, we were battling this team who was the second place team. We happened to be the first place team. We were 5-1 out of 8 games. We had played 6. They were 4-1-1 or something like that. And so they were like half a game behind us, but we were playing them for kind of the battle of first place. If we won, it locked up first place. If they won, we would need them to like lose or tie, and we'd have to win the next game and that sort of thing. So we kind of came into this game like knowing the stakes were really high, you know, and these are like a bunch of 11, 12-year-old guys who I'm coaching, and we came in. It was a really intense game. We played that team like two times in the fall before, and they beat us both times, once badly, but another one by like just one goal, and we were, you know, we almost had it. And so we get into the spring season and we're playing them, and this is like on the line because we knew if we won, they couldn't catch us for first place and nobody else in the division could. So pretty intense, close game. It was like, I think 2-2 or something like that, with tied up with just like a few minutes left. And one of our players who gets the ball like before he gets to midfield, dribbles down the field, has like 3 or 4 or 5 different defenders kind of come up and try to attack him. He's getting bumped and pushed, but he keeps possession of the ball. You know, in soccer, they're not going to call a foul if you keep possession of the ball. So he continues to dribble down, makes a move, almost gets knocked over, steps to the inside, takes a shot, puts it past the goalie in the corner of the net. He had no chance of stopping it. It was a goal. And it's with like 30 seconds left in the game, right? And so it is kind of all we have to do is hang on for like 30 seconds. But the thing that was most memorable about it is as soon as he scored that goal, he just turned around and he's like, let's go! I mean, it was awesome as a coach. Very, very memorable. And we did hang on and win the game, unlike some other teams from the state. So, but, you know, it was like a highlight of my coaching career, right? Like, seriously, one of the best moments. Now, in that montage that we saw earlier, you would hear the phrase, let's go, and it would also give some different kind of definitions or uses of what it would mean, even though it's the same two words. It had a lot of different meanings in a lot of different circumstances, right? So, let's go, you can use it to when you say it kind of means to move or proceed in preparation for your mission. Like, okay, let's go, right? Let's get ready, let's go. It can be a reminder that your mission is underway and some strong action is needed. Like, let's go, right? The message of encouragement or inspiration for the moment at hand. Let's go. Right? An expression of frustration. Right? A way to motivate and you know, yourself or maybe others to a better effort. Let's go. A way of expressing that people need to step their game up. Or a statement can be like, bring calm or reflection when stepping into a challenge. Like, let's go, let's go. Or a celebration of success or victory, or just a celebration of a job well done, right? Like, in some ways, all of those things, when you say let's go this morning, in some ways, all of those things are ways I hope that we'll catch on to. That there will be some relevance for us this morning as we talk about let's go in regards to Portico Church, in regards to us in this community. So would you pray with me as we dive in? Father God, this morning we pray that this message would be one of encouragement, that it would be challenging and yet encouraging as we look to some things that you've been doing in our midst, but also look forward to what you have in store. We want to commit this morning to you, and as we hear your word, may it challenge and encourage us in the ways that you desire. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right, so Portico Church. We don't remind ourselves of this all that often. Maybe we should do it more. But the mission of our church, of Portico Church, is based on the command that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 28. Okay, and it's verses that you probably are somewhat familiar with. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I command you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Right now, this is what is known as the Great Commission. Right? It's Jesus gave this command or this commission to his disciples. It's the commission, though, that we also receive from him in God's word. And he starts in the verse before by saying, Jesus saying, I have been given all authority. Right? All authority has been given to him. He is the Lord. He is Lord over everything in the universe. So this command or this commission that's coming is like the ultimate command, but also by the ultimate commander. Right? And so Jesus tells us, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now we have to like always back up a little bit. What does it mean to be a disciple? Right? Does that mean we just show up for church sometimes? Learn a little bit? Maybe listen to a worship song once in a while. What does it mean to really be a disciple of Jesus? Well, the word disciple is about being a follower and a student. Right? In Jesus' day, a rabbi would choose his disciples, his followers, and those students would literally follow him everywhere he went, learning to think like him, to talk like him, to live like him, to act like him, in other words, to be like him. Being a disciple was this intentional, relational process. And the learner or the student is basically brought under the influence of this master teacher so they can adopt his thinking and his lifestyle. It moves way beyond like classroom knowledge and instruction to this allegiance, which kind of reorders and reshapes your priorities and your conduct and your very life. So being a disciple, it's more than just having knowledge of Jesus' teachings. It involves faith, trust, and obedience to him in all areas of our life. Right? So when he talks about a disciple, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Now, the interesting thing here is that Jesus tells his disciples, go and do what? Make disciples, right? He's telling his disciples, go and make disciples. Like, that's part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus is we're making disciples of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus, right? Followers of Jesus make followers of Jesus. And that kind of involves two aspects that are pretty present in this passage that we read. The process starts with sharing the truth of Jesus with those who don't know him yet. It's a process that we often refer to as evangelism. Jesus commands us to make disciples and to baptize them. Right? He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them. The picture of the word baptism is the idea or the image of imagine taking a white cloth and dipping it in a red dye. Right? Now, those two things, the cloth and the dye, they become associated with one another. Like intertwined, they become completely inseparable. That's what baptism is about. Right? Becoming associated with the one true God. And God who is Father, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Right? One God, three persons. And so Jesus says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, bring them into association with me. And then when someone has come to faith in Jesus, for that taken that first step of becoming associated with Jesus in baptism, we teach them to, the next part is understand or observe or obey all that he has commanded and taught. That step is the discipleship process, right? So we usually talk about evangelism and discipleship. This is the commission that Jesus gave. It's the ultimate commission for Portico Church, for us here, but in actuality, it's the mission of every church and really every follower of Jesus. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. Now, in our mission statement here at Portico, we say it a little differently, just in a little, plainer language or that sort of thing. But it's this: our mission is to impact our world with the truth, hope, and love of God. To lead those around us to become passionate followers of Jesus. And to grow together in faith as a worship community. Right? We want to impact our world. We want to lead people to Jesus. We want to grow in faith. Impact, lead, and grow. That's our mission as a church in a nutshell. Now, besides our mission and our purpose, that statement, I guess, impact, lead, and grow, we do have three things that have kind of been our core principles, our core values, I guess, as a church. They kind of describe not the mission itself, but how we go about accomplishing that mission. So three things that we value. The first one is worship. Okay, the first one is worship. And just this is just like our statement. By the way, you can see these on our website if you go there. What's our mission? What's our values? That sort of thing. But worship, our worship of God should be authentic, passionate, spirit-led and truth-seeking, scripture-honoring, creative, and Christ-focused. Right? That's what worship's about. And when we say worship, it's not just about singing the songs we sing on Sunday morning or what this worship gathering looks like, but how we live out our lives in honoring God. Authentic, passionate, spirit-led, truth-seeking, scripture-honoring, creative, Christ-focused. Okay, so that's the first value. The second value is community, right? Community. Our community should be real, genuine, encouraging, engaging, marked by loving acceptance and courageous honesty, right? Loving acceptance and courageous honesty. That's what we should be striving for. That's what we want to be striving for as a community of people. And then the third thing is outreach. Outreach. And the statement is this: we should be intentional and mission-minded while building genuine relationships which engage in spiritual conversations. And this kind of mostly applies to those outside of our community of faith, those who are not followers of Jesus. Right? We should be intentional and mission-minded in that way. That's what we want to be about. Not saying that we're always great at it, but this is our goal. Right? So worship, community, and outreach. Those are three of our core values. And we've really taken, I think, some positive steps in each of these areas. And I want us to think about each of these areas just a little bit this morning. And again, I hope this is an encouragement for all of you. Right? So this past year, in regards to worship, and again, worship is not just the singing, right? It's not just the music. We spend a good chunk of time doing that because God deserves that, but it's so much broader than that. It's about honoring God in all areas of our life, right? And expressing our love and affection for Him. But in terms of worship, I'd say we've had kind of an incredible year from all of you, right? And here's something, and what I mean when I say that is just in one specific area is giving. Giving financially, right? Here's something I really believe, that giving is one of the most raw forms of worship there is, right? It goes beyond words, right? It's taking something that we feel we rightfully deserve, that we earned, even though, look, everything we have is a gift of God anyway. It's for us to use. Let's be real about that. But it's something we feel we've earned, that we deserved. It's our paycheck. It's our whatever. And we give it to God. We, like, give it away. We no longer get the benefit of whatever that money could have done for us. We no longer get to decide exactly how it's used. We're just putting it in His hands. We literally, in this kind of act of worship, are putting our money where our mouth is, right? Like, we say Jesus is the most important thing in our life, but does our checkbook or our bank account back that up? Does it match that statement? Are we giving generously towards God's purposes? And I think that's the key that's talked about in the New Testament, is to be excellent in the grace of giving. Right? Are we giving generously towards God's purposes? Last week, Dan did the message, great job on that message, but he talked about in Romans how it tells us to live our lives as a spiritual act of worship, right? And I was thinking about that, living our lives as a spiritual act of worship. Can I just say this? It is so much harder to live a life of worship and to give in worship than it is to sing in worship. It requires so much more of that. And yet I feel like we've stepped into that. Now, we don't talk about money very much here at church. So, and don't worry, this is not like the whole talk. This is just a little thing. We don't talk about it all that much at church. Probably, honestly, don't talk about it as much as we should. Maybe not even enough. But the fact is like any church, we're all a little self-conscious about it just being about the money. That's all they want is our money. We've heard that. We've experienced that maybe. We've felt that in places before. So we're kind of a little bit hands-off when it comes to that. Maybe even too much at times. But let me explain to you kind of how we go about things financially here. At the end of each year, our elder group looks at, like, our budget, or looks at our giving and what has been given from the previous year. We kind of use that amount to determine our total for the next year. But we almost always add, not almost always, we always add something to that, like usually about 5% of an increase. And the reason we do that is because we feel like it is important for us to trust that God is going to bring an increase in growth from the previous year. It's not just being like arrogant or whatever, we want to make space and room for that and trust Him with that. So we take the previous year's giving and throw on another 5% or so. Like any organization, we've got bills we've got to pay in order to exist, right? And then beyond that. We have things we just, you know, that we have to do, but we have things that we just like to do, whether it's in internal improvements that we do or outreach efforts, that sort of thing. And anyway, in all of this, the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, we've kind of plateaued in our giving, right? Like we kept hitting the same giving mark and never saw that extra income, that increase. And it was almost scary how close to the dollar that it was. Now, we're pretty conservative with how we spend our money. We try to be really, you know, I don't know if frugal is the right word, but careful, I guess, with that. So that's been okay. We still end up each year kind of rolling over some funds because we've been cautious. But the growth has not been there the last few years. Until this year. Not only did we hit our previous year's budget and the extra 5%, but surpassed that by about $9,000. Right? Yeah. Go ahead. Clap for that. That's awesome, right? Now, plus, we had some additional amounts that were given specifically for outreach purposes in the future, right? So that's incredible. Like, and I want to share that with you as an encouragement because here's how I feel about that. Like, we can accomplish the necessary things and start chasing some of the dreams of impacting others with the hope of Jesus if we continue to give generously like that. And thanks to you, we're in the place we can do that. Thanks to your faithfulness to following God, we can do that. And when I think about this year's giving and what we can pursue in 2026, honestly, I'm like more excited than I have been in a long time regarding giving, right? And I am just like, let's go, right? Let's go. That is so awesome. All right, so in terms of worship, that's just a really cool thing. I hope you're encouraged by that. And I hope it continues to challenge you to step into that for us as a church. And I'm so thankful for what you've done. And I know that all of our elders and leaders and the church as a whole would say the same. Thank you. Now, in regards to community, told you that's only part of the message, right? The money part. In regards to community, we've seen some really good growth there as well. Like we've had more people involved in the women's group than ever before. So I'm told, right? Not firsthand experience, but I've been told that. We started a new small group that has met weekly with a pretty good number of people that's been involved in that over the last year. The youth group has continued weekly. It's a small group, but it's good. And on top of that, we started up a young adult group. And when I say we started up, I mean like the young adults started up a young adult group. And not me, not it. Like, how cool is that? Right? That there's this desire for community there that is happening. We made the move to do the cafe connection downstairs after church because honestly, nobody wants to come early to hang out in the actual cafe. I get that. It's understandable. But we moved it afterwards and the response has been incredible. You know, it's been so cool every week to just see people connecting and having conversation. And I feel like that's just really cool to see. It's really cool to see. It's always been a value for us, and it's been missing for a while because of the nature of things, but we're kind of getting back to that. So that's very cool. So community is another area where I'm really excited about that. I'm like, let's go, right? Let's go. Now, outreach. And this is going to look a little different every year. We try some things that might be outreach-oriented. But I want to kind of not so much look at the events, but the results of our community. This last year, we had like 7 people get baptized, right? Hey, we should clap for that too. I heard a yay. Yeah, right? Yeah, that's cool, right? I know that there might be some big churches that are like, that looks like a small number compared. That's okay. That's the most we've ever had in 1 year. And honestly, it's been a while since we even had some. So that's seven people, some of whom are confirming a faith that they've been walking in for quite some time, and that's awesome. But a few who are relatively new to the faith. And it's happened because of relationships that have been built here. And that's been a big part of what God has used to bring people to following Jesus. And so that's people who have taken a step of obedience and an act of faith to be baptized. I know there's a few more who have expressed wanting to do that. Ideally not in the ice fishing waters, so we'll wait a little bit. Those are people who are coming to faith or following or proclaiming their faith in Christ and making this public statement of allegiance to Him. That is awesome. That's a big part of what outreach is supposed to be about. Like, we should be striving as a church to be a church and a people that has impact on other people's lives. Asking God to bring many people into association with Jesus, right? Being baptized on a regular basis, and it's happening. It's happening. And so when I look back at that and think about that, I'm like, let's go, right? Let's go. Now, here's the thing. All of these things are maybe, in a way, a little bit about programming, you know, the program. And it's not about that. I'm excited that as a church, there's been significant growth in some of these areas. But more importantly, guys, lives are being changed. Right? Lives are being changed through what God is doing here. People are growing. People are serving. People are worshiping. People are giving. People are being baptized. And I point these things out because I feel like they've been happening on levels that we really haven't been seeing in a while. So it just feels like God is working in some pretty incredible ways, and we've got to acknowledge that, right? I hope that pumps you guys up as much as it does me as a pastor of the church. I really do. But, there's always a but, right? But, there's always a but, and here it is. I really hope we'll see even greater things to come in this next year, right? Like, we have plans to see more worship opportunities, opportunities to worship through singing and prayer that will be kind of outside of our church Sunday mornings. We'll be looking to continue to build community. We hope to start a few more small groups and maybe get that men's group connection going a little bit stronger. And I realize those are the kind of internal things, but I also want to see us really more focused on outreach and finding ways to share the gospel and serving others and in our community. Right? We've had some conversations about that. We're doing this series, Jesus and Our Mental Health, coming up, starting next week. And I hope it resonates with others. I hope it resonates with you, provides a good opportunity to consider like how we're doing in that area, even if you're feeling like, oh, I'm fine. There's definitely issues we all struggle with, and there's issues going on in people's lives around us. And there are people in your world who don't know Jesus that maybe don't have the same hope as they're battling through these things. I hope that this series is an opportunity for us to grow in our love for Jesus and our love for others and our understanding, but also that it's an opportunity to invite others around you that may really benefit from that. People who may have questions about, hey, I'm dealing with this, but how could God even let that happen to me? Or does He really love me if He would let something like this be part of my life? Right? So there's opportunities to invite others that we know who are dealing with these things and finding hopefully some healing and hopefully some help, but mostly some hope in the midst of that. So from an outreach perspective, I put in a little plug for this is coming up, this is starting. Please prayerfully, I mean, be here, but prayerfully consider who do you know that may have some of those kinds of questions that's worth an invitation to. I mean, it's always worth the invitation, but intentionally. Okay, so we'll be doing that. We'll be working on having some more outreach events and activities for both adults and maybe families and kids. We're looking at some ways where we can start seeing opportunities to serve others in the community. I hope that you'll get involved in these things. Like, I know there's a lot of pull in different areas or different aspects of our lives. Pull from work and school and sports and just our family life. But we're here to share Jesus with the world around us. Right? That's the primary reason we're here as a church and as followers of Jesus, as a community of faith. This is our purpose. So let's go. Right? Let's go. Let's do Matthew 28. And we can pull that up again. Let's go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey or observe all I've commanded you. And here's just kind of one key thought that I hope you'll take with you this morning as I've been thinking about this passage. It's this: everything we are and everything we do, and speaking as a community of faith, as Portico Church, everything we are and everything we do begins with the word go. Literally, Jesus said go. Right? Go into the world. Go and make disciples. Go and baptize others. Bring them into association with Jesus. Go and teach them my commands. And coincidentally, at least in the English language, the word gospel begins with go. G-O. Right? Now, that breaks down when you get into other languages and even the biblical language, but it's convenient for us. Go. Share the gospel, the good news about Jesus. We want to be about that. And so, as we close, let me just ask you, do you see your whole life as being on mission with Jesus? As a disciple of Him, as a follower of Him who is longing to be like Him and to make disciples like He calls us to? Do you see your whole life as being on mission with Jesus? If you are a believer, if you have come to faith in Christ, you are a disciple of Jesus, then you are a 24/7 missionary. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's who we are. And we all are that. So when you walk out the doors today, the doors of the church, you're entering the mission field. But when you walk out of the doors of your own home, you are also entering the mission field. When you get out of the door of your minivan, you're entering the mission field. We need to remember that when Jesus tells us to go, it's a command. It's a command. The ultimate command from the ultimate commander. Let's go. Let's go. It's an instruction, right? For those who say they follow Him, we follow Him, I follow Him, this is what we're supposed to do. So let's go. It's an encouragement for people of faith who are being asked to take some risks in sharing that faith and in loving others, trusting Jesus, stepping out in faith. Let's go. Everything we are and everything we do begins with go. And here's the probably the most important thing about all of it is we're not going alone. I mean, yes, we have each other, but Jesus said at the end of His command, He said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Right? Jesus didn't just give us a job to do and say, good luck. He's walking with us in it all. He is with us through it all. And because we have Jesus, we have everything we need to accomplish the mission He's given us. So let's go. Right? Like, let's go! Let's go. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you that just like in the song that we sang prior to this message, you are a God who said, let's go. Stepped out of eternity, Jesus, into our world to show your love for us, to call us to yourself, to break down walls, to break down barriers, to you would go to, there's no end to how far you would go and what you would give to rescue us. And God, as your disciple, as your follower, as a person of faith, we know that you are calling us to be like you, to do what you did, to live like you lived, to love like you loved, to be like you. And so, God, we pray that we would just see our life, each moment, as an opportunity to worship you, as an opportunity to express our love and affection for you, to honor you in our life, but also as an opportunity, as your disciple, to make other disciples, to share the gospel, the truth, the hope, the love of Jesus, that more people could come to know you. We thank you for how we've seen you fleshing out in our lives here in this church in the past year or so, in terms of worship, in terms of community, and in terms of outreach. And we just pray and trust that you have far more in store. And God, this morning, we just want to simply say we will be faithful. We want to be faithful to step into that as you're calling us to go. And in response, we're just simply saying to you, God, okay, whatever it is you're calling me to do, let's go. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you go with us in all things, that we're never going alone, and that because we have you, we have everything we need. We are just filled with anticipation of what it is that you may want to be doing in our lives in the weeks and years ahead. And so we chase after you, we pursue you, so that we can see it become a reality. We trust you to bring about whatever results that looks like. We lift all this before you this morning. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.